This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Dent, what do you got?
All right, let's start in college basketball. How about that? College basketball in November does exist.
Well, it's Maui, man. It's Thanksgiving week is football and, you know, used to be college hoops. I mean, I'm into it. But you got to talk about the Memphis-UConn game and Danny Hurley losing his mind.
I mean, Danny Hurley losing his absolute mind. It was a tie game. UConn's ranked number two in the country right now. It was 92-92 in overtime with 40 seconds left. And Danny Hurley is just berating the official. The holdback coach, assistant coach, is trying to do his best. He cannot. He is just giving it to the refs. He gets a technical. It causes UConn to ultimately end up losing the game. It's their first loss of the year. And then he got to a press conference and didn't take accountability whatsoever for yelling at the ref, blaming them instead for their, quote, bleepy calls that he said. He just went nuts.
So this game, I was not watching it, but I had friends, Steve Sands and Tim Murray, and I are on this group text where it's usually, you know, gambling talk, but the two of them were just, you got to turn this thing on. It's great. And I couldn't. And then when I did turn it on, it was in the final few seconds of overtime. So I missed all of this stuff, but I went back and watched it. First of all, it's 92-92 in overtime in the Maui Invitational quarterfinals. All right, UConn, number two in the country, two-time defending national champion. They haven't lost in their last 17 games going back to last year. I think everybody's now familiar with UConn has become a dominant program again. And Danny Hurley, let me just say, is a great coach. A great coach. He's also got a screw loose, and that's been the case for many, many years. But, you know, personally, if he's my coach, you can that screw can loosen up to the point where you completely lose it a few times a year. I'm fine with that. The call that he complained about was an over-the-back call at 92-92 with 40 seconds left in overtime on a missed shot and an attempted offensive rebound. It's not a bad call. I mean, the guy did climb his back a little bit. Now, he picked it cleanly. I think anybody that knows anything about basketball, it's like, if you go over a guy's back, and even if you get the ball because you're taller and longer and you don't make contact, if you have to reach over that guy's head to get the ball, 8, 9 times out of 10, that's getting called. All right, it just is. Guy boxed out well. Hurley later said it was a lazy box out. And he lost it, completely lost it. And he gets teed up. So not only is the guy going to the line to shoot two free throws off the over-the-back call, but you got two technical free throws on top of that. Memphis hit all of them. They took a four-point lead. And bottom line is they did have a shot at a three at the end, or at a three at the end to win it down two after they intentionally missed a free throw. But they lost the game to Memphis. Memphis, by the way, was not a ranked team under Penny Hardaway, but they were 4-0 or 5-0, something like that, going into the game. And then he completely lost it in the press conference and called out the refs, said that they should be embarrassed with the call, should be embarrassed with hitting with a tech. He went after him pretty hard. I do think sometimes referees need to consider the moment. This is apparently one of the highest level games that you'll see in November. It was a great basketball game. It's in overtime. You got a hot-headed coach. You know that. He didn't come out onto the floor. He was still walking up the sideline, and like you said, the assistant was holding him back. I think you probably let that one go, no matter. I don't know what he was saying.
I don't know. I don't know what he was saying.
Well, it's the moment, right? Because you know, if you hit him with a tech, it may be the game decider right there, which it was. It basically decided the game. He lost it after the game when the buzzer went off. I was watching it at that point, but did go back to congratulate Penny Hardaway on a hard fought win. But man, Hurley is something else, man. He is a show. Like, not only is the team great and has been great and exceptionally well coached and has been, but his antics and his temper and his loss of poise on the sideline, you know, it's not Bobby Knight-esque necessarily. Knight had, all due respect to Danny Hurley, who is, you know, I'm not saying that he's not as bright as Knight. Knight had a sense of humor that went through, that went with his complete inability to control his temper. And by the way, you know, a bully in many ways. Hurley doesn't, I don't think, have that. I don't think he's got that sense of humor to go with it. But it is a show when you watch UConn. Anyway, so they're done in Maui, although they will play other games, because when you travel all the way to Maui, there's a loser's bracket as well. I don't know who's in that tournament, to be honest with you. Is Carolina in that tournament? I think they are.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention to basketball right now.
Yeah, because I was flipping around last night, and it looked like they were playing in that gym as well, and they were playing Dayton. To be honest with you, I don't know if they won or lost that game. Anyway, what do you got next?
All right, how about some more college talk? UNC is planning on relieving Mack Brown of his duties after the NC State game this weekend, so he more likely than not will not coach in the bowl game for the UNC Tar Heels football program. And they're going to be entering a coaching search. He's a legend. He won a national championship with Texas.
So he is going to coach the season finale against NC State?
That is currently the plan. We'll see if that changes.
Good for him.
But it's funny because like a week ago, he said that he plans on being back next year.
Okay.
And they said, well, no.
Yeah, they tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, I think with Sam Howell, or was it the year, was it Drake May? One of those 2 years, they had a really good year, but their defense was horrific.
That was a Sam Howell year.
It was the Sam Howell year?
It was one of them, yeah.
Yeah. And then last year was Drake May, right? And they weren't that great, correct?
Correct. I mean, they have not had a good defense in years.
What's his overall record at Carolina? His overall record at Carolina the first go-round, they were a major factor multiple times in the ACC, had really good teams. And then obviously he goes to Texas. He wins a national championship. They had an opportunity in the game that Colt McCoy got hurt in to win another one. Am I forgetting? Was it just two national championship games, the win over USC and then the loss to Oklahoma?
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, multiple Rose Bowl appearances, multiple New Year's Six games. So in the Cotton Bowl a bunch, in the Rose Bowl a bunch, in the Fiesta Bowl, the BCS National Championship.
It's been a hell of a coach.
Yeah, I mean, he got to an Orange Bowl with UNC in 2020.
Yeah, but they didn't win. I'm trying to think. Did they get to an ACC championship game and get blown out by Clemson?
I'll have to check on that, because that 2020 was a weird year. The most wins he had at UNC was 9 in 2022. He had 8 in 2021.
So the 2022 is the Sam Howell year? No.
No, 2022 was the first Drake May year. The 2020 season was the Sam Howell year.
So if 2022 was the year that I think they made it to an ACC championship game with Drake May. Maybe they didn't.
They made it. I think that they made it to one. It looks like that they won. They beat Miami.
Oh, they beat Miami.
Yeah, that was in 2020. That was the Sam Howell year. That's why they got to the Orange Bowl, because they won the ACC.
Sorry. Whatever. The Carolina teams this go around for Mack Brown were marked by terrible defense. Great offense, terrible defense. How old's Mack Brown?
He's old.
75?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there in age. He is.
Yeah. Had a hell of a career. Look, I mean, when the first go-round with Carolina before he got the Texas job, the heels were, you know, during the 90s, you know, 80s, I think he was there for the late 80s into the 90s. They had some really, really good football teams. And, you know, Florida State was obviously the king of the league. I mean, they were more so, much more so than Clemson during his first go-round. But they had really, really good football teams. Just thinking about some of the players on those teams, like Ekuban, and they had good. They were much better defensively. The guy that played for the Cowboys, defensive lineman, forgetting anyway. Hell of a coach. That'll be it for him, right?
More, I mean, yeah, I can't imagine. You're 73 years old. I don't know why you'd still want to be coaching in today's day and age, where you got to do so much. Like, go rest. You've won
Carolina
national
is one of those places, if they get the right guy, they can certainly, yes, it's a basketball first school, like, you know, many in the ACC have been over the years, or at least the old ACC, but they care deeply about football as well. It's a beautiful school. Keenan Stadium is a first-rate facility, looks beautiful in the fall, been to games there before, and you can win big at Carolina. You know, in this day and age with a 12-team playoff, you can definitely be a team in the ACC that threatens the playoff once every 4 or 5 years, and Mack Brown wasn't doing that. So I understand why they're looking for something better, but like with all of these basketball first schools, said this for years, be careful what you wish for. When you have a good football coach, you know, and you're winning more games than you're losing consistently, that's why I hated the Friedgen firing at Maryland during the 2000s. Just stupid. The guy had gone to 7 bowl games in 10 seasons. Maryland was actually a factor in the ACC. He was a hell of a coach. Hell of a coach, Ralph was. And, you know, after he was named the ACC Coach of the Year, they moved on from him. That was so dumb. And they didn't get back to any semblance of even winning seasons until Locks. And the last 3 years before this season, of course. I mean, be careful what you wish for at these basketball first schools. If you've got somebody that's good enough and you're winning more than you're losing, sometimes it can go the complete opposite direction. You know, because Mack Brown's a good coach, but maybe he was ready to hang it up too. All right, what else?
All right, this sent me over the edge yesterday. The jokes on Twitter were flying. Drake is suing Universal Music Group and Spotify over Kendrick Lamar's song "Not Like Us."
And why is he suing them?
Well, so "Not Like Us." Have you heard of the song "Not Like Us"?
This is the one. Is this the one where he's ripping Drake again?
It is, where he calls him a pedophile.
Right.
But he is suing not for defamation. He is suing because he feels like UMG and Spotify, which, by the way, he is signed to UMG, a $400 million deal. He is suing them because he feels like they boosted the numbers on the first day that Not Like Us was released.
Boosted the numbers. That's, by the way, that's a big topic in, you know, the Spotify, Apple world.
It is.
In terms of, you know, how those numbers are accounted for. There's been so many different iterations of measurement techniques and what's acceptable, I don't know anything about this. I mean, they hate each other's guts, clearly.
Clearly.
It's kind of too bad, but I don't know anything about, like, are they inflating the numbers? And why would they inflate the numbers when he is a UMG, you know, client?
Also, that is a massive question. But the humor in this is that the guy that has been accused multiple times of inflating his own numbers is Drake.
Right.
It has been happening literally every time he drops an album because his last couple albums have been awful.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, it's, like, okay, if you're going to sue, first of all, suing at the end of a rap battle.
How bad is Not Like Us? Because, I mean, I remember
it's
reading
phenomenal.
About it. It just came out recently, right?
It came out in May. It's phenomenal. It's one of my favorite songs of the year.
Okay. And it's just, it attacks him and calls and refers to Drake as a pedophile.
It does. Oh, it was so good. It was so great.
What a world. All right, what else?
Juan Soto got 5 teams in the mix for him. He's had official offers from 5 teams. Our final story here. Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, Mets, and Blue Jays. You will notice no Phillies, no Nationals in that.
Yeah, I mean, the Nats just, you know, they're not going to spend that kind of money for Juan Soto. It's small town. Feel badly sometimes for one of the better GMs in the game, Mike Rizzo, for sure. But it's really a small, even though the market's a big market, you know, from a, you know, from every standpoint, from a size, from a demographic standpoint, et cetera, the, you know, they just think smaller than other clubs. All right, we got other things to get to. By the way, Steve Buckhantz is going to jump on with us at 12:35. He and Phil are doing the alt cast of the Wizards game, I guess, tonight on the Monumental Sports Group station. And so we'll talk to him about that. But Buck also texted me during the game Sunday about Austin Seibert. Buck knows a lot about kickers. He was one. So Buck will join us at 12:35. Up next, we'll go around the NFL. Didn't have a chance to do that. We'll go back and look at Sunday's other games, which there were some crazy ones. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.